Amen. Yeah, so tonight is the big game, and I'm not too excited for it, but I will watch it. And something I always like to see when I'm watching football, whether it's the big game or any of the games that I watch throughout the regular season, is I like to watch these gigantic athletes, especially the defensive linemen. They're usually really tall, 6'5", 6'7". You know, they weigh 290 pounds. They're tattoos all over their arms. They'll grow a full beard by the end of the game. You know, they bench press a Volkswagen Beetle. They eat 12 eggs in the morning for breakfast, and they're just monstrous, gigantic men. But at some point, you'll see them towards the end of the game. They'll be sitting on the bench, and they'll have an oxygen mask up there. They're sucking for air. They're breathing hard. It's just refreshing to see that even these gigantic people, these tremendous athletes, get tired, they get weary, they grow faint, that they're really human, just as I am human. And you know that at some point, too, at halftime, they're going in, they're hooking up IVs to them and all this kind of stuff, too. They are human beings, even though they are gigantic people. And Scripture is like this too. It's full of giants of the faith, people like Abraham and Moses and Peter and Paul, these great spiritual giants. But what Scripture often shows us is that these people too grow weary. They grow tired. They grow faint. They have a desperate need for the Lord. Scripture shows us that these people have made mistakes. They have also struggled to live within a world that is often really cruel. They pay the cost of their sin, and they even ask tough questions. They are as human as you and I. This morning, the prophet Isaiah gives us a picture of how human the nation of Israel is. And this is an important picture for us to see because this nation is God's own people. You can't tell their history without telling the history of God working in the world. The two histories are intertwined. These are God's people. But in Isaiah, they are struggling. They are beaten down. They are crushed by their own failures, crushed and weighed down by their own sin. Their pride has beaten them down. They've even come to points where they felt like they didn't even really need God that much anymore. But in this passage, in being crushed as they are, they've come to a point where they now recognize that they do need God. But what's striking is that even at this time where they finally realize how much they need the Lord to them seems absent. The Lord, even to them, they question whether God truly cares or not. Even as the prophet Isaiah lauds the strength and the might of God, who is Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, who sits above the circle of the earth and looks down and sees its inhabitants, and they look like grasshoppers, as verse 22 tells us, who spreads out the heavens as though they are just a piece of his furniture, as though they're a curtain of the earth, who can look down and see the princes and the rulers of the earth and knows that he can do whatever he wants with them. Or who, later on in verse 26, can look at the stars, number and name each one of them, has placed them because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Even as Isaiah talks about how God is like this, the people of Israel are questioning. Where are you, Lord? Verse 27, they ask, why is my way, my path, my life, why is it hidden from you? Why do you not see my troubles that I'm going through? Why do you disregard the rights I have as a human being? Why do you disregard and have no eye for justice as I am going through injustice? It's as though they ask the Lord, are my troubles, which are so big to me, are they too small for you? Am I just a grasshopper? Perhaps you ask yourself the same thing. You've reached your end. You've reached your limit, or you're getting very close to it. You're growing faint and weary and tired. You're on the bench. You're sucking oxygen, and it's just not feeding you anymore. Your strength, your own wisdom, your spirit, your heart has met its limit. You can't go on. And while you are faint and weary, that which crushes you persists and gains momentum. It doesn't let up. Illness just won't go away. Cancer won't give up. Depression and loneliness continue to weigh you down. That sin, which Scripture speaks of as entangling us, draws tighter, and the snare becomes strangling. Peer pressure, temptation, they cloud over you. You suffer, and you ask, why? Are my troubles too small? Are you too big? But to Israel and to you and I, the Lord has an answer for us. Verse 28, the prophet asks, well, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the God of all eternity. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He has made it all. He does not faint or grow weary. But out of his strength, he gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. We might not be able to see the how, the why, or have an explanation as to why we go through certain things or the when, because the Lord's understanding is unsearchable. But what we have is a promise that he does not faint. He does not grow weary, rather he gives power to the faint and strengthens the weary, yes, even you. He who created the universe, who made it all, who names every star, does not see you as too small to deal with. In fact, just the opposite. He delights in it. He delights in serving you, in refreshing you. And so the Lord invites us to wait upon Him, to trust in the mind of God, which is beyond our understanding, to live in the confidence with faith in the expectation of that God will act on your behalf. We might have come to church this morning asking, where is God? He is present here with us. He is present by His Word, which gives us this wonderful promise that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We have the promise of God's Word that He renews and strengthens us. We might ask God this morning, where is He? We know He's here present with us on the table, in body, in blood. for the forgiveness of our sin, where he makes a way for us to be renewed and refreshed. Luther said that we should eat of this meal as often as we can, for it does, it renews us, it strengthens us, it gives us the energy to go from week to week. We might ask this morning where God is. God is also in the person sitting next to you, in the communion of saints. God works through his people that are right in this room with us. They pray for you. They have hugs for you. Sometimes they give you food. They're there for you to hear, to listen, to be God's hands and feet, to be the hug of the Lord, as one of my professors talked about. Think of it this way. If God has sent his son to die for you, he isn't going to leave and just be done after that. He will, of course, see you through to the end, no matter what that way looks like. The Lord knows your way, and he walks it with you. Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise that you will strengthen the weary, strengthen the faint, give power to those who wait upon you. Help us, O Lord, to be patient, to have the faith to wait upon you and the goodness that you have for us. That we might not understand how it is to come to us and how you are to strengthen us and why we go through what we go through. But help us to wait upon you. Strengthen us by your word, by the body and the blood, and by the fellowship of those who sit around us. We pray this in your name.